Hello there. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas, from the So What Happens Next podcast. So, if you've listened to our latest episode on Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, you heard me mention a Star Wars standalone movie idea all about Jar Jar. You also probably heard me mention that it would bring a tear to your eye and thought, whatever, who cares about Jar Jar? Well, buckle up, Palo. Because if Filoni and Lucas say any story is a Star Wars story, then it's time for the emotional roller coaster that is Binks, a Star Wars story. There wouldn't be a scroll like the other two story films. Just to kind of frame the film here, there'd be a shot of the sunrise coming up over Theed, the human capital of Naboo. The camera would sort of fly over the city before diving into the water just outside the palace. It would show some fish and it would keep going through the planet Kor before revealing the Gungan city from the first film. Two Gungan boys would be running through the streets of the city, evading the general foot traffic and the Kadu-mounted soldiers. Think like Aladdin, but maybe less like poor street rat kind of type musical number. Then, one of the boys trips while the other evades, causing a chain of events that create a huge disturbance. Crack carts, people are knocked down, you know, some stuff is broken, general, you know, disturbance, right? The Gungan soldiers see this and chase the boys, who are quick to run away and very sure-footed. The one who tripped, causing the accidents, is behind the other, who is very good at evading, you know, the obstacles and whatnot in their way. This would be the cue for a cool half-underwater, half-on-foot chase where they're jumping in and out of the bubble sphere things and they're swimming and then diving back in to get away, that kind of thing. Because, you know, they're underwater. We could use this kind of third dimension, right, guys? So they finally get to, like, a house. The bubble home. The two laugh because they got away from the soldiers or whatever. And the first one, who you know, was sure-footed as hell, looks and says, "You're such a klutz, Roose." To which Roose replies, "We can't all be graceful, Jar. Now how about we go get some food?" Thus, setting up that we are looking at the child versions of Roose Tarples, the Gungan general from Episode 1, and Jar Jar fucking Binks. But there's a twist. Suddenly, we hear someone yell, "Jakunis!" Comes a shrieking voice that only an angry mother could have, causing the smiles to drop as two soldiers and Jar Jar's mother walk out of the house. Cut to the boss chambers that we see in Episode 1. We see the predecessor of Boss Nass speaking to a Gungan informant, and we only hear part of the conversation.
"This adjoined the Republic without us. If we are to survive, we have to speak up.
We are no care about the Naboo, nor the Republic.
But they are already take the old swamps. We are can't let them..."
"Enough! Be gone with him."
Roose and Jarkonis are brought into the chambers as the informant leaves, defeated and clearly angry. A look Jarkonis reacts to, while Roose is trembling with fear. The boss addresses the boys, noting how Roose is scared stiff and Jarkonis is obviously too distracted. He states that this is not the first time the boys have caused trouble and gives various examples. He decides that instead of a traditional punishment, such as a fine or even jail time, that they are enlisted into the cadet school for the Gungan army, stating that the future will need the Gungans to be strong, not easily distracted and scared. The two boys are relieved and taken aback at their sentence as they are escorted to the training bubble. We cut forward several years and we see young adult versions of Roose and Jarkonis running a training course in the swamp. Jarkonis running the course near perfectly, and Roose stumbling just before the end, only to be caught by Jarkonis. the same line as before, "You're such a klutz, Roos," drops to reestablish who we're looking at. As the instructor calls an end to the drill and addresses the recruits about their graduation into the Gungan army. Here, there'd be a mention of growing tensions with the Naboo, and how the army is needed now more than ever, since an attack could come at any time. Real nationalist stuff, you know, because we're gonna play with that here. Then, the instructor would mention that Roos and Jarkonis are the ones who are graduating at the top of the class, number one and number two, respectively. The cadets cheer as they begin to walk away, led by Jarkonis, clearly the strong, warrior, righteous hero type. While Roos says he needs a minute, Jarkonis is a little bit full of himself, and that's kind of how we're going to be framing him in the beginning of this movie, shrugs it off and leaves with everyone else. Roos, meanwhile, confronts the instructor, curious why he achieved the number one spot despite his clumsiness. The instructor informs him that though they are to be warriors and that he wasn't perfect at the courses like Jarkonis, he had the right mind to leave. He's never left anyone behind, while Jarkonis would really only look out for Roos at best. Roos had compassion and courage for his troops and ensured their safety when faced with a no-win scenario, unlike Jarkonis, who showed more arrogance than courage. And I'm thinking maybe even before the time jump, we could kind of show some other time in school or something like that. You know, we'll flesh out, obviously, the film here. Roos walks away pleased and rejoins the party. The next day, there's a grand celebration and graduation in the Gungan city where Roos and Jarkonis are assigned to very high stations in the military. As night falls, alarms sound as an attack on a nearby swamp village begins. The soldiers quickly speed away in like maybe those like Unabongo speeders or something like that, with Roos and Jarkonis now leaders among the soldiers. As they arrive, it's the middle where the camera would kind of come over, and we're like looking at the middle of a battle, like a kind of gritty one, thinking kind of like Rogue One, where we're seeing blaster shots and blue balls flying back and forth between the Gungans and the Naboo humans. People are being shoved in and out of the village shields because we kind of have those bubbles and stuff. Naboo people are struggling to swim away or trying to not drown, while the Gungans are avoiding laser blasts left and right. Jarkonis is absolutely tearing up the field of battle, while Roos, though he's holding his own just fine, is more focused on getting as many Gungans to safety as possible. The battle goes on until the sun begins to rise on a Gungan victory. But it's bittersweet. As the Naboo intruders flee and are pushed back to the tree line, the camera reveals the burned out village, strewn with debris and fallen soldiers from both sides. Jarkonis celebrates the victory while Roos walks with some villagers among the ruins to find survivors. There, Roos meets a female Gungan, who obviously is going to become his love interest here. I didn't feel like fleshing this out too much for the purposes of time, but, you know, obviously that's kind of where this is like the next layer, I guess, this movie could have. So Roos kind of meets this, you know, girl Gungan, and they have their own like kind of side emotional thing. So just kind of fill that in as you will. He escorts her and the other villagers back to the Gungan city, where the two are brought before the boss, who is now Boss Nass from Star Wars Episode 1, to report what they saw. Roos states that the attack was a clear sign that they need to shore up the borders, and the resulting refugees will need a place to live in the city until they can rebuild. Jarkonis, however, states that today was a great victory, and that the Gungan should push forward to get revenge on the Naboo. Boss Nass agrees with both, with his classic jowl roll, but does not want to go into open war with the Naboo. He sends Jarkonis to secure the borderlands, and Roos to lead the resettlement of refugees and the expansion of the Gungan city. For the first time, Jarkonis and Roos are not only going to be separated from each other, but they have incredibly complex feelings about this whole situation. The two talk about the situation, only to have it escalated into an argument. Jarkonis is ultimately shipped out to the borderlands on bad terms with Roos, who is clearly sad that things fell out the way they did, and perhaps is worried that he will lose his best friend. Another time skip a few years, not as many as the beginning, and the Gungans have finally completed the city expansion, and the city, the Gungan city, as we see it in episode 1, is now complete. Roos is now married with young children, and has quickly gained a high rank in the military, and established a good life for him and his family. One of the soldiers informs him that a now equally as high-ranking Jarkonis is returning from the borderlands. It's been a long time since Roos has seen his friend, and he gets excited. It's clear, though, that tensions have risen between the Naboo and the Gungans as the Trade Federation increases its grip on the planet, and the Gungan city has not only increased in size, but defenses as well. Roos quickly rushes off to meet Jarkonis at the gates. The two meet each other as old friends despite the last time they saw each other, implying that the argument is pushed to the side, but Jarkonis seems to have other news about his return. Roos, slightly thrown off, escorts him to Boss Nass's chambers, where they are greeted as accomplished heroes. Roos, for his success securing the city and helping the refugees develop their homes, and Jarkonis, for his victory along the front lines. At this point, Jarkonis suddenly announces, proudly, that he has led a small team to exact revenge on a small Naboo village. Roos is visibly shocked and Boss Nass enraged. The boss scolds Jarkonis for potentially starting a war. Furious, he demands the guards arrest Jarkonis and take him away for potentially ending the Gungan species and leading them down a path they cannot come back from. Roos is both shocked but concerned for his best friend. He remains behind to speak to the boss and try to convince him to alleviate Jarkonis' sentence. We cut to a Gungan prison cell. Roos arrives to meet with Jarkonis. He confronts him about his actions in the field, which Jarkonis defends vehemently, stating that the boss is content to remain in the water and let the Naboo take the entire planet, when the Gungans could strike while the Naboo are weak and retake their swamps and land. Jarkonis clearly sees the Trade Federation's grip taking a toll on the Naboo. While Roos has been underwater his entire time, he doesn't see it. He's not exposed to it. However, Roos remains calm and informs Jarkonis that he spoke to the boss.
I spoke to Boss Nasja.
What?
I was able to convince him to let you stay out of prison. But there's a catch. You'll be demoted and put under my command.
Jarkonis thinks about this for a moment and accepts. Trying to make light of the situation, he makes a joke about how they always have each other's backs. The two go on patrols in the city while the defenses continue to be increased. Jarkonis's warlike tendencies have declined, but he's clearly unhappy and unsatisfied with his new position. One day, while on patrol, Jarkonis and Roos notice a strange individual and proceed to follow them. The two soon find the stranger setting up explosives. They move in to arrest the individual, who reveals himself to be one of the villagers from the town Jarkonis attacked. Racked with rage and a desire for revenge, the insurgent goes to trigger the detonator. Jarkonis heroically shoves Roos out of the bubble wall and leaps onto the insurgent, personal shield in hand. The bomb goes off as Roos floats in terror. Roos swims back to the ruined bubble and finds an unconscious Jarkonis holding a failing personal shield. Jarkonis wakes up in the Gungan hospital. Everything is a blur, he's going in and out, and we hear the doctor speaking to Roos. There's irreversible damage done to Jarkonis' mind. However, it won't show immediately, but one day he might not be able to maintain his military status, his role in society. He may become more of a burden than a hero that he once was. Jarkonis continues to go in and out until he finally wakes up to Roos, his best friend, sitting by his side. Roos explains to Jarkonis what happened. Jarkonis then pushes himself up, stating that he needs to return to work while he still can, that he has to defend this city with everything he has left in him. Roos is concerned for Jarkonis' well-being, but lets him return, under his very watchful eye. The two continue their patrols, and it's clear that Jarkonus isn't the same. He stumbles when he used to be sure-footed. He has trouble riding the Kadu when he was a pro and could do backflips off of them or something. He can't focus as well. He's clearly frustrated. But Jarkonus continues to push himself, despite Roos's warnings. Some time goes by, and Jarkonus's mental state has clearly declined. His responsibilities have been steadily rolled back until one day. Roos's son is graduating from the military academy, just like Jarkonus and Roos did before. Jarkonus, though, is told to stay home, so he doesn't cause any more accidents like he has in the past. And don't worry about the day's patrol. Take the day off. Jarkonus, feeling left out, proceeds to take on the day's patrol on his own. We see that Jarkonus is a lot more Jar Jar from episode 1 now than he is Jarkonus at the beginning of the film. As he is out and about, he notices some people struggling to repair the shield generator for one of the bubbles. He offers to assist, and the workers, stunned that the hero Jarkonus would be so helpful, accept. But they start noticing that he's not quite everything that the stories at least used to say. He's not the same man that they've heard about. Despite their subtle protests, Jarkonus continues to help, which sends the shield generator into overload. The bubble's population begins to flee as the alarm goes off, Gungans jumping out of the bubble walls left and right to swim to the next one over, or at least somewhere far enough for safety. One of the workers pulls Jarkonus away and out of the bubble just as the generator detonates, forcing the bubble to sink and crumble under the pressure of the depths. Roos is brought before Boss Nass, who begins to rip into him concerning Jarkonus' constant mental decline and the accidents that he's caused. Boss Nass states that he wants to execute Jarkonus for his actions to keep him from causing any further accidents like the bubble explosion, which he states rivals even the terrorist attack that caused the mental decline of Jarkonus in the first place. Roos, distraught that his friend may not actually have a chance this time, uses his final favor with Boss Nass to lessen the sentence to merely banishment. Boss Nass agrees on the condition that Jarkonus never be allowed to re-enter the Gungan city again. Roos goes to Jarkonus one last time to take him to the surface. The two arrive at the swamp, seen in Phantom Menace, and it's here we get our final exchange between the two and the ending of the film.
Roos, what are Weesa doing up here?
Jarkonus, do you, sir, know what happened the other day in the bubble?
Uh-huh. It was a bomb-bad accidente.
Jarkonus! People were hurt, sir. It was a more than a simple accidente. They wanted to kill you, sir. There's no going home for you, sir, this time.
Jarkonus is distracted, looking at a frog, as he shoots his tongue to try and catch it for a quick meal.
So what are Weesa doing up here anyway?
I thought we could have a picnic like the old times, sir.
Ooh, Weesa like the sound of that.
No. How about you go and get us some food, Jarkonus?
Civil Roos. Weesa not Jarkonus. Weesa Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar says as he quickly sprints after another frog into the forest. Roos turns towards the swamp, and as he's walking into the water, he says one last time, with no one around to hear,
I know you, sir, Jarkonus. I know.
A loud roaring sound cuts through the air, startling Roos, just as if he was a child. He looks up and beholds the Trade Federation dropships descending from the sky into the forest. Terrified, he dives into the swamp to warn the Gungans. So that's my ridiculous, stupid, emotional drama, Jar Jar, a Star Wars story, or Binks, a Star Wars story, if you prefer. Haven't really thought of the title. Let me know what you guys think. Is it steaming poodoo? Or do I need to hit up Dave Filoni ASAP?
Let us know on social media, like Twitter, Instagram, or even that god-awful Facebook. Or hey, on our website, swhn19.com, where you can find this and the episode this came from about Star Wars episode, the one, The Phantom Menace. And stay tuned for our coverage of the other 10 live-action Star Wars movies wherever you get your podcasts. Appreciate you guys listening.